I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. In my last episode, I took a look at home run to fly ball rate and how, although it's similar to the hitting version of the stat, when you analyze it for pitchers, you need to take a different strategy and use it for a different purpose. One important stat that helps understand home run to fly ball rate and vice versa is a saber metric called xFIP. So that's what we'll go over today. Let's get into it. A few weeks ago, I went over a statistic called FIP, or Fielding Independent Pitching. So essentially, what that stat factors in is just the balls put in play by the pitcher and what the result of those plays are with league average defense behind the pitcher. So FIP is one way to measure what a pitcher should be doing by only considering what's in their control with balls put in play. But the stat xFIP, which we're going to get into today, takes that one step further. Now, there's this whole mathematical equation for FIP. There's a whole mathematical equation for xFIP. I'm not going to get into it because I don't really understand the math. I just trust it. But basically, the pitcher's home runs that would be considered in the FIP equation are replaced in the xFIP equation by factoring in the league average home run to fly ball percent instead. And so basically that X in xFIP stands for expected. So basically the league average home run to fly ball percent in the equation, what it does is it narrows the projection a bit more than the FIP statistic for what a pitcher should or could be doing. So I'm going to take a definition from the FanGraphs glossary because they kind of help simplify it. So basically, xFIP tries to remove some of the randomness from the pitcher's actual performance. Now, FIP is important because it's a better performance indicator than ERA, because it limits the math to include only what the pitcher is responsible for. xFIP is even more important to understand and use because it strips down the factors even more by taking out the randomness of home runs and fly balls, which is something that's out of most pitchers' control. So like FIP, you have to compare xFIP to the pitcher's ERA to really get an analysis of it. It's not enough just to look at xFIP and say, oh, he has a 320 xFIP, he's a good pitcher. It doesn't quite work that way. Although the two stats, ERA and xFIP, are related, what you should really be doing is looking at ERA, FIP, and xFIP in combination with each other in order to compare them and to assess the pitcher. xFIP is predictive in a way because it shows either the positive or negative regression that a pitcher may experience. But that regression, either way, is not guaranteed. So the real way you should be using xFIP to understand the role is to understand the role that home run to fly ball plays in it. And rather than look at xFIP as like a be-all end-all, look at it as a way to see how the pitcher is pitching completely independent of their defense. So as you look at xFIP throughout a season for various pitchers, and you should be constantly looking at ERA, FIP, and xFIP throughout the season, you'll be able to use it in a similar way to FIP. Use it to decide on a pitcher's future value, whether you should buy, sell, drop, add, or just sit tight because you found a good pitcher. Someone I had last year that I liked a lot was Charlie Morton. His 2019 ERA, FIP, and xFIP all line up pretty well, 305 ERA, 281 FIP, and 328 xFIP. And all of those reflect that his talent was exceptional and he did basically exactly what he should have last year. If you had a pitcher like Morton last year, or if you had Morton last year, you can see from his xFIP that his talent and projection was right around what his ERA was. And likely what you did if you had him was you hung on to him for the year. Now, on the flip side, Zach Greinke, his xFIP was nearly a full run worse than his ERA, making him a prime candidate to be traded away if you had him. His 2.93 ERA looked good on the surface, but his 3.74 xFIP reflected a less talented pitcher, one who was getting by a bit on luck, since he wasn't striking many batters out and not stranding many runners on base. So if you want to find the stat, one of the easiest places to go is FanGraphs. They have so many stats all kind of lined up next to each other that it's just easier to sort and find what you need and analyze with everything there in the picture. So go to fangraphs.com. Once you're there, my suggestion is to go to leaders up at the top right of the page and then select the pitching leaders from last year. And then this is the same, it's something that I've gone over already, this process. It's also the process that I use during the season as well to find pitchers, analyze who I have, and look for some guys that are flying under the radar a bit. So what I do is I usually sort the leaderboard. As you scroll down, you'll see a bunch of different statistics filling the page. I sort by the K9 or strikeouts per nine statistic because out of qualified pitchers, that'll put up the pitchers that are striking out the most batters, which for fantasy baseball is very important. So even though that's not what we're looking at, that's where we're going to start so that we can see the best pitchers from last year. So generally with pitching, right, that's my process. I want high strikeout pitchers, so I begin there to look for whatever else I need. We've talked about a few pitchers already, with Greinke and Charlie Morton, along with how to use xFIP to evaluate pitchers. So I'm not going to get into great detail here, but once you get to the leaderboard and get it sorted by K9, you'll have a pretty easy visual to assess pitchers on xFIP. Some just kind of looking through and glancing at some, you'll see Gerrit Cole at the top. He had a 2.50 ERA and a 2.48 xFIP. So you can really easily say that, he pitched to what his talent was. Steven Strasburg is another one, 3.32 ERA, 3.17 xFIP. So again, right around what he should have been doing last year. Shane Bieber, right? This is a great way to kind of go through and see, am I valuing these pitchers appropriately? Are they doing what their stats say they should be doing? So a lot of those names are pretty obvious as far as targeting pitchers goes. So I want to give you a suggestion of somebody who is still, a good pitcher. He's probably on a lot of people's radars, but and he started very hot last year. But he's had some trouble staying consistent. But looking at the leaderboard, looking at the correlation between FIP and xFIP and ERA, my eye goes to Luis Castillo from the Reds. He's a high strikeout pitcher, which I like a lot. He gets a lot of ground balls, which is good. He strands a decent amount of base runners. But what we want to look at is the ERA and the xFIP, which are nearly identical, which is also very good. Castillo had a 3.40 ERA last year, so not elite, but decent, and a 3.48 xFIP, which shows that he pitched close to his true talent. He was an excellent pitcher last year, and I expect him to be just as good, if not better, this year, pending that we have a season. So there's a name for you to target for the upcoming season. Trade for him if you don't have him. Draft him if you haven't drafted yet. I'll be right back to talk about the possibility of the DH in the National League. So I wanted to get into the topic of the DH coming to the National League because it's a pretty hot topic. It's a possibility for this season, this shortened season, and it's definitely in the works for next season. And it certainly seems that it may be the new norm. So what I wanted to talk about is who's going to be affected most by the DH in the National League. And first, you know, National League pitchers are definitely going to be affected, and I think in a negative way, some more than others. But National League pitchers have the inherent advantage of getting to pitch to other pitchers. Now, yes, there are some good hitting pitchers, but even someone like Madison Bumgarner, who is widely considered one of the best hitting pitchers, has only a 177 career batting average. A normal DH in the American League is going to hit higher than 177 and is going to fill that DH slot more than once every 5 days. So you're definitely looking at an inflation in ERA for National League pitchers. Even guys like DeGrom and Scherzer, you know, their ERA is going to go up, you know, as good as they are. Now, National League roster construction is also going to have to change. And that's going to affect one of two groups. And adding a DH, you're essentially taking a roster spot away from someone else. So that DH spot is for someone who's usually but not necessarily a hitting specialist. And again, oftentimes, not always, is usually for someone who's a liability in the field. And so that player may end up taking the roster spot of what you'd normally consider a platoon player, somebody who's good in the outfield, but maybe only hits pitchers that are lefties or righties. So let's say Jock Peterson from the Dodgers, who only hits lefties, splits time in the outfield with Chris Taylor, a good hitter against righties. Well, the Dodgers may need to shift one of those players to DH, which could cause a problem for roster construction. Or you end up signing a DH, and then you have to get rid of one of those guys. If Peterson is going to be your DH versus lefty pitchers, what do the Dodgers do in the outfield against lefty pitchers? You know, it causes problems. Even NL teams like the Dodgers, who have cultivated balance with batting, are going to have their equilibrium thrown off with a DH. They're going to have to make some really tough choices about roster construction, how they're going to build their teams. You know, another group that could possibly be affected by the DH are National League relief pitchers, although not in the way that you might think. National League rosters have an option to spend an extra roster spot on a pitcher that American League teams don't have the opportunity to consider, because American League teams are forced to spend a roster spot on a DH, it takes away from their opportunity to add an extra arm, unless they drop somebody at another position. But then, you know, you're down a player in the field. So National League teams don't have to do that. They actually have the option. They have the choice to fill that, you know, 25th or 26th man, as it was supposed to be this year, with an extra arm. Adding the DH to the National League is going to take away that flexibility. And again, you know, it's going to really influence and change the way that those teams construct their rosters. Personally, I don't really feel strongly either way about adding the DH into the league from a fan perspective. You know, it could be exciting. People are definitely going to say, like, this is not baseball, this is not the National League. But from a fantasy baseball perspective, you should definitely be following, you know, this process. You should definitely be aware of the added opportunities for batters in the National League, but you also need to be aware of the risk and the possibility of a negative impact on pitchers in the NL. Anyways, that's all for today. Next episode, I'll take a look at pitching BABIP and what that entails. It's similar to the hitting version, but we'll go over it anyways. Thanks for listening.